that good singing all the way around. We bless the Lord for the good songs of Zion. Take your Bible, if you will. We'll be looking in the book of St. John, chapter number 12. St. John, chapter number 12. You find the place and you're able to stand. We'll be standing there and reading a verse or two. In the book of St. John, chapter 12. All right, notice, if you will, please, in verse 35. Then said Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have the light, believe the light, that you may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, and yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? Whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? And therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, he blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their heart and be converted, that I should heal them. These things said Esaias whenever he saw his glory, and he spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. And for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. And Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. And he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it. How good it is to be in the house of God. Bind the devil, every demon assigned to hinder. We plead the blood of Jesus over this congregation. We thank you for those that, Lord, that you've reached down and snatched as a brand from the burning and saved them, Lord, from the guttermost to the uttermost, that have come to know you in the free pardon of sin. Now, bless, I pray, the remainder of this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, thank you, and be seated. I'm going to preach a little while on, if God doesn't put something into your heart, the devil will. Yes, sir. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that here, that the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about people that received the word of the Lord, people that rejected the word of the Lord, and people that believed or either did not believe one or the other, and you're in one camp or the other. Yes. In this Bible lesson, you're going to find out is that our Lord, the Bible puts, says that God put into the hearts of some people. There's a passage over there in the book of Romans in chapter number 10 that says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I want to say to you that whenever you come to know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, it's the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that finally came knocking on your heart, getting your attention, speaking to you in a real manner that you might repent toward God by faith, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the lesson that you're looking at, you either have the word of the Lord in you or you don't. It's that simple. I hope that you have the word of the Lord in you. And somebody said, well, where is the word of the Lord? Well, let me tell you right now, the old King James Bible, the Bible said that where the authority of a king is, there's power and there's authority in the book. And you can read over in Ecclesiastes where he tells you about that the word of the Lord. You know, the King James Bible, the old King James, is the only Bible that was translated by the authority of a king. All the rest of them have just some kind of a, I don't know, copyright thing that they came up with. But let me tell you right now, we hold in our hand the blessed word of the Lord. And let me tell you right now, when you've got the word of God in your hand, over in Psalm 12, you ain't got to turn there. But the Bible said that the word of the Lord's pure words, and they've been tried. And let me tell you right now, as you'll find out, they've always been right. They'll be right tonight. They'll be right tomorrow, next month, next year. They'll always have been, and all right now, right. because they're the words of the Lord. You can't improve upon that. I noticed that, if you will, please, that in the Bible, there's some things there that we ought to look at. Don't turn there, but in the book of Acts, in chapter number 7, it's about verse number 23. You remember, then came into the heart of Moses. There he was, the people of Israel in bondage, and you know how they got delivered? Then came into the heart of Moses. Yeah. I got to tell you right now is that Moses one day was out there watching him abuse and misuse all those Jewish brethren, and God put it in his heart that he was going to be a deliverer of them. And of course, we know that he tried to act prematurely, and 40 years later, it finally was accomplished as God had planned it to be. In this lesson here, you'll find that over in the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 7, you ain't got to turn there either, but you'll find that God put it into Nehemiah's heart about the will of God, the mind of God, and the rebuilding of the temple and the gates and this and that, and establishment of worship. I mean, God moved upon somebody and put it in their heart. In this lesson that you're looking at in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, at about verse number 16, that you'll find is that God put the earnest care into the heart of Titus for the church over there at Corinth. I just said all that to be able to say this. If you sat here before me this morning and you've heard the preaching of the word of the Lord and you got born into the family of God, God put that in your heart and made you want him and to be able to come out from among them and to be separate, saith the Lord. You know, and as a preacher, we want to make it as easy as we possibly can. And as a preacher, we want to say stuff like, you know, everybody's got their head bowed. Nobody's going to be looking. And nobody's going to be wondering. And nobody, hey, come off of that, man. Let me tell you right now, if God ever comes knocking on your heart's door and snatches you as a brand from the burning, you won't give a rip who's looking, listening, or what. You're doing business with God. God's putting something real in your heart. See, in this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that we never know exactly when God's going to do that. But I can tell you what I do know is that the word of the Lord's been settled in heaven. Salvation's by the Lord Jesus Christ, plus nothing and minus nothing. You're going to be looking, if you will, in 1 Peter chapter number 1. But over there in 1 Peter chapter 1, I'll give you a moment to find that. But while we're looking at it, you'll find the word of the Lord is settled in heaven. Over in Psalms 119, verse 130, said, the entrance of thy words give light and give understanding to those that hear and do the simple. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that in 1 Peter, in chapter number 1, look in verse number 13. Bible said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You know how you got born again? By a seed that is not corruptible. By the word of the Lord is what he tells you. For all flesh is grass, and all glory of man is the flower of the grass. And the grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. I want to tell you what the word does, friend, is it'll save your soul. And make no mistake about it, when God saves you, he'll snatch you as a brand from the burning. He'll change your thinking. He'll change your lip. He'll change your life. He'll change where you go, what you do, who you're running with. I'm going to tell you, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I want to tell you something. When God saves you, it'll be forever. And I'm glad that God does say forever. You know, every now and again, I run upon somebody, and they'll tell Baptists, they'll say, well, I don't believe what Baptists believe. I don't believe that once saved, always saved stuff. Do you? I said, no, I believe in what's lost, always lost until you get saved. Yeah. And then that rattles them. They don't have a clue what you've said. And they're just, you know, well, I don't know if I believe that or not. Oh, I see. Now, which is it? It's one way or the other, is it not? I got to say, make no mistake about it, is that sometimes, you know, you'll run upon somebody. And I got to tell you right now, you ain't got to run home and ask your wife, or you ain't got to run home and ask your husband. If God's knocking on your heart's door, buddy, you're going to be ready to get washed by the blood, born into the family of God. I mean, tell you what a glorious time, what a glorious day that it was to get washed by the blood, born into the family of God. You know, the Bible said when you begin to look into it that the word of the Lord will save you. Not only that, the word of the Lord will settle you. It'll keep you from being blown about with every wind of doctrine. I'm going to start preaching here one of these days soon why that I'm not a charismatic, why that I'm not a Church of Christ, Campbellite, why that I'm not. You getting the picture? And let me say to you that, if you will, that you're going to need that up and down the road of life. And let me say to you, make no mistake about it, is that you better know where you stand in this corrupt world that's full of non-believers. Let me tell you right now, is if you lived in some of these bigger cities, it wouldn't do for you to get up and stand up and go to screaming about Jesus saves, out in the middle of one of those Muslim riots. You won't live long. You won't last long. But make no mistake about it, whenever it comes down to where your life is on the chopping block, may God give us the grace and the peace to be able to know that he has passed all understanding in our heart and our mind through Christ Jesus our Lord. I'll tell you, the word of the Lord will save you. Number two, the word of the Lord, it'll settle you. I'm not worried about tomorrow. You know, I'm not holding on, holding out, and doing the best I can. I've got somebody that's holding me on, and I got somebody that'll hold me out, and I've got somebody that has sealed me into the day of redemption. And if you're saved, so have you. In this lesson that you're looking at, you're going to find out the word of the Lord, it'll establish you. You know the reason being why? Because all these years that I've been preaching unto you, I've been telling you that every time you believe something, you better have a chapter and a book and a verse of why you believe it.
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you right now, the average Baptist does not. The average Baptist church, let me tell you right now, you can't find any doctrine that'll beat Baptist doctrine. Now, you can find a lot of sorry Baptists, but you can't find anything to improve upon Baptist doctrine and that old Philadelphia bunch that back then that believed God and the Bible and that penned down those articles of faith that we believe. And make no mistake about it, that when you look into the word of the Lord and you see what God said, there'll be a chapter, a book, and a verse that'll back it up. Somebody said, well, now, you know, sometimes we've got another verse because we don't understand that verse. And, all right, well, give me that verse then. This is awful quiet. I'd never been by a church this quiet until you went by the Methodist church and they were taking unholy communion. But we live in a world somehow that's been brainwashed looking for a good time.
Yes.
And whenever you get to the house of God, supposedly, when you leave there, you're as empty as when you showed back up. Now, I'm not talking about here, and I'm not talking about you. But it could be.
Yes.
See? And I want to tell you, after all these years of being in the ministry and this and that, I've not even touched the hem of the garment.
Yes.
But make no mistake about it, the word of the Lord will stand by itself. I've got a picture. I've got a picture of a big old lion standing there. And Peter Ruckman, before he died, he drew it and all of that. And it's got a picture coming from this big old lion. I mean, son, the king of the jungle. He's got a picture and all of those versions of the Bible that he's ripped apart and tore up. And underneath it, it said, the old King James Version, turn him loose, he can take care of himself.
Yeah.
I want to say to you that, if you will, that I've met a lot of persons up and down the road of life that wanted to help me be able to understand why this version or that version was as good or maybe better than the old King James Bible. And let me tell you, it ain't worked yet.
Yes, sir.
There's a few questions you can ask them, they don't know. Ask the average Baptist preacher, where'd the Bible come from? They don't have a clue. Why do we have the old King James Bible? The closest thing you can get is some dumb independent Baptist that can't hardly read and write their name in boxcar letters, and they'll say something, well, if it was good enough for Paul, it's good enough for me. Don't ever say that, by the way. I want to say to you that when you begin to look into this Bible, you begin to realize that the word of the Lord, it not only settles you, but it'll establish you in the faith. And as a result of that, most of the time, is that whenever you can't get somebody to sit down and talk about what they believe, you know what the problem is? They're not scared of you. They're scared of what they believe. See? All that business right there. In this day of women preachers that we've got. That's as dumb as fat truck drivers.
Yeah.
If you drive a truck and you're a little bit overweight, I'm not talking about you, but I meant lady truck drivers, you know. look into the Bible and begin to realize that, oh, that the more you hide the Word in your heart and you saturate your heart and your mind with the Word of the Lord, it will establish you in the faith. And let me tell you right now is that if a person says, well, now I don't believe what you said, then that's fine. Close your Bible and just tell them, I can't help you.
Yes, sir. Right.
Your problem's not going to be with me. Your problem's going to be with the Word of the Lord. And as a result of that, if you're going to argue with the Word of the Lord, I'm not going to be able to help you. Not only that, no other Bible believer is going to be able to help you.
Yes.
See? We live in a world that among the Baptist church and among it that now is becoming a woman-dominated denomination.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You see that? And so no need trying to make excuses for me for some woman that you know that's good and godly and this and that. I know what her place is. I know what my place is in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't, well, shame on you.
Right.
See? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, it'll establish you in the faith. This Bible said that whenever you know the Word of the Lord, it'll separate you from the world, from the flesh, from the devil.
Yes.
Now, I guarantee you right now, as you begin to look into this Bible lesson, God told Jeremiah over, in fact, look in Jeremiah chapter 1, if you will, just real quickly. Over there in the book of Jeremiah, it's in chapter number 1. God told Jeremiah something. Here's what he said, verse number 9, chapter 1, verse number 9. Look in verse 5. Let's back up to that. Now God says unto Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. And then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am but a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. There's the word of the Lord. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Now look in verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. I'm going to tell you something. There's what we need while you turn to Jeremiah 6 and about verse number 19. Jeremiah 6, verse 19. Listen to what he said there. Hear, O earth, behold, I bring evil upon this people and the fruit of their thoughts, and because they have not hearkened unto my words nor my law, but they rejected it. So that tells me that it doesn't matter who the prophet is. It doesn't make any difference where they're located. Is that there's a certain amount of folks not going to believe the word of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Just not going to do it. And as a result of that, you know, Brother Sounding Brass and Tingling Cymbal, they're going to go ahead and do what they possibly can to promote Sister So-and-so. My word, she used to be a fat truck driver. Now she's trying to teach and preach to men, and they're trying to make excuses for that.
Yes,
she needs to go back to driving her truck. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you something. Do you know that in Jeremiah chapter number 13, verse number 10, you can turn there if you like. People who reject the word of the Lord are evil. Now, I didn't just pick up a funny paper and find that out. Look in verse 10. Bible said, this evil people, who are they? Which refuse to hear my words, which walk in the imagination of their heart, and walk after other gods to serve them, to worship them, shall be even as a girdle which is good for nothing. He had told Jeremiah, I want you to take this linen girdle, and I want you to go down, and I want you to hide the thing in a hole over there by the Euphrates River. And then after several days, he went and had him bring it back up. And of course, the thing was marred, and it was rotten. It was good for nothing. And here's what he ended up telling him. He said, these people, I want them to see it. They refuse the word. They're evil people for having refused the blessed word of the Lord. Now, I want to close, and I want to give you a couple of things real quickly, if I might. Back over there in our text in the book of St. John, whenever I said to you in St. John, in chapter number 12 and in verse number 46, is that we were looking there in that passage, and I want to tell you something, is that you're going to find out is that the Lord Jesus Christ, if you reject his word, then as a result of that, the word one day is going to judge you. And the Bible said over there in the book of John, St. John, chapter number 13. Now the Bible said, and here's a man, and the Bible said his name is Judas Iscariot, verse number 2. And the supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot. You remember what the title of the sermon was? If God doesn't put something in your heart, the devil will. And here's Judas Iscariot. Can you imagine that? He heard faultless preaching. He heard the most powerful preacher, the most pure preacher that you could ever hear upon the face of this earth. He listened to and heard the Lord Jesus Christ. But did he receive the word of the Lord? Not at all. Now the devil's going to put something in his heart and mind. Look in verse 27. In verse 27, after the shop entered, Satan entered into him, then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest do quickly. I want to tell you something, is that whenever Judas Iscariot, who rejected the word of the Lord, heard it, rejected it. And let me say to you that we live in a world somehow or another, like he said over in the book of Amos, over in Amos chapter number 8, there's going to come a time they're going to go up and down the land, and they're going to be searching for the hearing of the word of the Lord, and they're not going to be able to find it. Now, you know the reason why? Because when they could hear it, and they could have received it, they rejected it, and they refused it. Now it's taken from them. In this Bible lesson you're looking at, you're going to find out, is that the Bible said that he that is of God heareth God's word. You therefore hear them not, he told them over in John chapter 8, verse 47, because you're not of God. Now, I got to tell you, without the Bible, there'll be no enlightenment. Without the Bible, there'll be no examination. Without the Bible, there'll be nobody to exhort you. Without the Bible, there'll be nobody to encourage you. Without the Bible, there'll be nobody can evangelize you and show you the way, the truth, and the life being in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness, and with his mouth salvation is made. And so as we confess and as a result receive the salvation of the Lord. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at, it's going to be more than lip service. That crowd over in Matthew chapter 15, and we're going to be closing. In the book of Matthew chapter 15, about verse number 8, the Bible said, "This people here, they draw nigh to me with their lips." Look at it. They draw nigh to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I got to say to you, make no mistake about it, is that I'm glad that Jesus saves, Jesus saves. I'm not looking for an experience. I seen a sign one time down the road, what we need's another Pentecostal experience. Well, that's foolish. Do you realize, though, that Pentecost was not an experience? That you'll find out that Pentecost was a Jewish feast. We've already had that. God did what he wanted to with that. That's not something that ought to happen over and over again. You see, people say funny things. I seen a sign, another sign, days gone by. He said, I'm not going on a feeling, but I am glad I can feel what I'm going on. Now, that's a good sign. That's a good thing. I don't know about you, but I'm not much on bumper sticker religion. Does it make you just want to bow your head and thank God and get out and go to having a running fit and waving your hand to heaven, hallelujah, because you read a bunch of stickers on the back of somebody's pickup or car or something? Doesn't me. Makes me want to get in another lane, get on around them, because here's a nut crippled too high for crutches. I don't know if any of you got stickers on your car, and if you do, I love you anyhow. Just keep right on sticking them. I don't care. I shake hands with a person like that. I count my fingers to make sure they didn't get one of them. Do you ought to have a witness? Sure. You ought to be able to speak with your lip. You ought to speak with your life. You ought to be able to speak and give out the gospel and all that business there. But I can tell you right now, there's a lot of people riding up and down the road that are God-robbing thieves that'll talk about loving the Lord and tithing. They don't tithe at all. See? I had a man tell me one time, you know, he looked out the window and he said, man, there was a gigantic buck outside the day before deer season. I said, did you shoot him? Oh, no. No, the Lord wouldn't let me. The Lord wouldn't let you. He wouldn't let you shoot him the day before the season. No. No. Huh. Well, God bless you. Maybe you'll come by me and I'll get a shot at him. Now, you got to understand, here's a man that's already confessed the day or two before that he was sorry that he has been robbing God, that he wasn't a tither. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you're not a tither, you go ahead and shoot the day before. It ain't going to matter because you've already got a wagon load of junk to give an account to God for. You've been riding around on money that you spent, that you robbed God from, to buy a vehicle, to buy a house, to buy food for your table, to buy... Well, I didn't want to preach on that, period, but I just wanted to say to you that if you will. See how dumb people are, how stupid things happen? It's no wonder the world's going to hell in a handbasket. I wonder this morning, do you know him? Is the word of the Lord lodged into your heart? I hope it has been. If not, I hope it will be. But it's going to be up to you to repent toward God and by faith receive him in the free pardon of sin. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word this morning. And Lord, as we get ready to sing the invitation song, thou knowest every need we have. And we praise you and we thank you, thou art God. And beside thee, there's none else. There might be a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that say, preacher, I just need to come to an old-fashioned altar. I've got family, I've got friends, I've got acquaintances that I need to pray with and pray for. I wonder, Lord, that if there be one lost without God, they'll come to know you in the free pardon of sin. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.